the resurrection and life. You know, as I think about Easter Sunday and how wonderful it is that we can celebrate what Jesus did for us, I think about what He continues to do for us. You know, we don't just talk about Jesus on Easter. We talk about Jesus every Sunday. We talk about what He's done. But today we focus on the resurrection. Matthew 28, verse 1 through 20. I'll be reading out of the New King James Version. If you don't have one, it'll be on the screen. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. And his countenance was like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." And so they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring the disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, "Rejoice." And so they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. And when they had assembled the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, "Tell them, his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure." And so they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. Let's pray. Father, as we come to your word, we ask that you would give us your truth, your principles. Help us to apply what we learn. Help us to get excited about our first love. That'd be you, Jesus. That'd be salvation, our first gift from you that we received. Lord, we ask in your name that you would help us to spread the gospel wherever we go, to whomever we see, whenever we can. And we praise you in advance, in Jesus' mighty name, the strong Son of God. And the church said, amen. You know, the resurrection is a miraculous, joyful, and a life-changing event. The resurrection, first of all, is a miraculous event. Just looking real quick on Matthew 28, 1, and we'll stop at 4. It says, early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow, and the guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. You know, several things come into play here, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time here in the story, as it were. I'm going to spend some time here relating a few things that jump out immediately. First, it was after the Sabbath that Jesus rose. So from Friday night to Sunday, he laid in that tomb. Why? Well, we find something similar happened to another man in the scriptures, if you remember, and that's in John 11, verse 1, and it says, a man named Lazarus was sick, and he lived in Bethany with his sisters, Mary and Martha. And this Mary, who later poured expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair, her brother Lazarus was sick. And so the two sisters sent a message to Jesus, telling him, Lord, your dear friend is very sick. But when Jesus heard about it, he said, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this. And so although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. And finally he said to his disciples, let's go back to Judea. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. Yes, Martha said, he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. Do you believe this, Martha? Yes, Lord, she told him. I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God. And then she returned to Mary, and she called Mary aside from the mourners and told her, the teacher is here and wants to see you. And so Mary immediately went to him. And Jesus had stayed outside the village at the place where Martha met him. And when the people who were at the house consoling Mary saw her leave so hastily, they assumed she was going to Lazarus' grave to weep, so they followed her. And when Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. And when Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people waiting with her, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. Where have you put him? He asked them. They told them, Lord, come and see. And then Jesus wept. And the people were standing nearby said, see how much he loved him. But some said, this man healed a blind man. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying? Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb, a cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. Roll the stone aside, Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, Lord, he's been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible. Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? And so they rolled the stone aside, and then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here so that they will believe you sent me. And then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out! And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a head cloth. And Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. You see, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, folks. And for 3 days, there would be rituals that were normally done to a body in order to preserve it for what they thought the resurrection would be like. And so he's got oils being applied to him. But there comes a time when a body has gone beyond the point of freshness, and it begins to stink. So in verse 39, Jesus is told, by now he stinks. If you got the King James, it says, by now he stinketh. But to prove that he has authority over death and that there would be no doubt of his power, Jesus did not come right out away to Lazarus' aid when he heard that he was sick. He waited another 2 days. And by the time he shows up, Lazarus has been dead for 4 days, buried in a cave with a stone in front of it. Now that was common burial practice. And Jesus orders the stone to be moved. The mourners and friends of the family are probably sitting there thinking, this guy's nuts. Not only is there nothing Jesus can do in the face of death, but the dude stinks. But they move the stone away, and lo and behold, Jesus calls him forth, and he rises from the dead. And there was no doubt Lazarus was dead. There was no doubt Jesus was dead either when he was dying and dead on that cross. He'd been beaten, he'd been whipped, He had a crown of thorns shoved down on his head, and I don't mean the sticker burrs that we have here in Florida. I'm talking long ones, the really long thorns that are common to the region. He was weak already when they crucified him. And as a matter of fact, because it was the Sabbath and they wanted to move things along, they broke the legs of the thieves that way that were being crucified with him in order for them to drown in their own bodily fluids. Yes, they died faster because of that. However, this was not done to Jesus. Not a bone was broken. To be sure, they shoved a spear in his side and found blood and water flowed out. The Romans knew how to make sure someone was dead, folks. He didn't just faint on that cross. Now, but for 3 days he stayed in that tomb, which proved to all that not only was he dead, but that he was really dead. On that day he rose from the grave on the first day of the week. Not only that, but there was an angel there and it declaring to the women who had come to perform the burial rituals. Listen, the appearance of an angel was so spectacular, so fearsome, that these battle-hardened guards of the Roman army were so afraid they cowered and were like dead men before the angel and the power that was shown there. Notice Jesus starts the new covenant triumph on the first day of the week, not at the last day of the week. Jesus fulfilled the old covenant and starts something new, and that's a type and a shadow for the church age, folks. Jesus is not dead. Let me say that again. Jesus is not dead, but he is alive today in heaven at the right hand of the Father. To deny the power of the literal resurrection of Christ is to deny the gospel. To deny the gospel makes you no Christian at all. If you cannot believe the story as it's written in the scriptures, then you are an unbeliever today. You are not a Christian. You either believe it all or you're not his at all. Let me say it again. You either believe it all or you're not his at all. This brings us to number two. The resurrection is a joyous event. Matthew 28, 5 through 10 says, "Then the angel spoke to the woman. 'Don't be afraid,' he said. 'I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead just as he said would happen. Come, see where his body was lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you.'" And the women, and the women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." So these women, they're not told to just take the angel's word that Jesus rose. They were invited to look in the tomb and see where he had been, and that he was there no more. These women knew where Jesus' body was because they'd been performing the rituals since he'd been dead. They didn't start the day joyous about Jesus. They started it in mourning. They started it in sadness. But you see, God doesn't do the things you expect him to do in the way you expect him to do it. He usually does things in a way you don't understand. Whether it's a trial or tribulation to get you to where he wants you, or it'd be something supernatural to get his will done. We in our little brains, though we should see it coming and know he can do the miraculous, always seem to be shocked when he does them. Always seem to be shocked when God does his thing. We are so shocked and so amazed that we tend to tell people about it. We're joyful and we want to proclaim to the world what God has done. Think back to when you were first saved. How on fire were you? The sad part is unlike the women who are on their way to tell the disciples when Jesus shows up, we get so focused on what he has done that we forget to worship him. These women didn't forget, though. They bowed down and worshiped him right away. And notice he didn't chastise them for their worship. He just said, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." And then he sends them on their way and tells them to tell the disciples where to meet him. If we as Christians would just worship Him when God has called us to something, we would find that He might give us a direction to make our busy lives better, more joyful, and more peaceful in Him. And that's the key, in Him. We're so busy about being busy that sometimes we forget to sit at the Master's feet. We forget to bow down and worship Him. If we just take the time out of our busy lives to worship God, we might find He will change our lives. We might find that He will make our lives more fulfilling than it ever could have been if we had stayed on the trajectory that we were headed. A fulfilling life does not mean you will get what the world says you should have to live a fulfilling life. I don't have to have the latest BMW or Tesla or whatever. Fulfillment in Christ is about supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. It's beyond materialism and it's beyond worldly wealth. The resurrection is a life-changing event for each true Christian. Let me say that again. The resurrection, as it's written, is a life-changing event for each Christian. Because of that, you are changed. Matthew 28:16. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some of them doubted. And Jesus came and told His disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You know, we call this the Great Commission. And the great mission of the church. So what's the problem? Well, a true disciple of the Lord will be one who gives up their time for others. And I don't mean to make converts. I mean to make disciples. A disciple looks like their teacher. We're to help others on their walk with Christ to look like Christ. We're also to baptize them and to teach them to obey all the commands of Jesus. And what is His command? Very simple. He's already given it. You've already read it. His command is to go and make disciples of all nations. This means the religious who don't really know Him. This means the irreligious in our midst. This means the tattooed biker, the thief, the prostitute. It means we're to reach the so-called undesirables of this world for Jesus Christ. But someone's saying, but Pastor, I'm afraid of that person. Hey man. Jesus said He'd be with you even to the end of the age. You just got to do it. He didn't give you a choice. He said, go. But what if they hurt me or kill me? Well, then be a martyr for Christ. Now, I don't see that happening in America too often, but definitely in other countries. And you know what? You know what those Christians do? Do they shake in fear? Do they stay home? No, they do it anyway. They share Jesus anyway. And yet we say we can't. Why can't you again? Let me give you an example from Fox's Book of Martyrs. Savonarola was an Italian monk, and I probably butchered his name, but he was very well educated, and he began to preach to the people against the evil living that he witnessed within his own order. He demanded reforms. As Savonarola's popularity grew, Pope Alexander VI ordered his vicar to proceed with the needed reforms in an attempt to silence the muck. But Savonarola wouldn't be silenced. And when the Pope denounced him and denounced his testimony and ordered him to be silent, the monk finally realized the danger he was in and he temporarily stopped preaching. But he took it up again in Florence in 1496, at the request of the people longing to hear God's word. We need to long to hear God's word, folks. We're missing that. This man was cursed as a heretic, and he told the people that such curses were against the true doctrine and should be ignored. Savonarola was taken from his cloister in 1498 along with two other friars who supported him, and they burned him as a heretic on May 24th, 1499. And there are many more stories like this throughout the history of the church of those who have stood up for the gospel. Yet we can't be inconvenienced to stand up for the gospel. Why? Because your favorite TV show is on tonight? Hey, they make these things called DVRs. DVR it and go share the gospel. You know what I mean? Remember what Christians throughout time who have been martyred remembered. This life is no longer about you. It's no longer about me. It's about Jesus. It's about the gospel. It's about His will, not yours. Remember 2 Corinthians 5:8 says, yes, we are fully confident, and we would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we will be at home with the Lord. It is every Christian's desire to be away from the body and home with the Lord, where there is no more tears, no more pain, no more sin to get in our way, but God in His ultimate wisdom has decided that we are here not for our own wants or our own desires, but that we are still here on this earth to do the mission of the believer. And that mission is to share Jesus with those that are dying and going to hell on a daily, hourly, second basis. How about it, church? Are you saved? Will you share Jesus with others? Or will you selfishly hold on to Him and do what you want, not what God has called you to do? If you remember nothing today, remember this. The resurrection is a miraculous, joyful, and life-changing event for the individual believer. How about you?